Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Where do kids in your community go when they are in trouble? Is the state making progress in juvenile justice reform? The Juvenile Justice Public Safety Improvement Act released its 2017 annual report this week. Christy Bunkers is the Director of Juvenile Services for South Dakota. She joins us now on the phone. Christy Bunkers, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you.
Let's provide some background for our listeners about this report. Where are we at in the process of what we're referring to as juvenile justice reform?
Certainly. Just a little bit of background on, you know, our state's history of incarceration and the reason reform was necessary, I think, would kind of set the stage. Mm-hmm. You know, South Dakota had a long history of leading in juvenile incarceration. There's a national census that's conducted by the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, and that census has been taking place since 1997. Since the inception of the census, South Dakota has ranked number one or number two every year, except in 2003, we went down to number three, but then shot back up. So, you know, that might make some sense if this were a really unsafe place to live. But South Dakota has and continues to have one of the lowest violent crime rates. And our juvenile arrest rate was only one-third the national average. So we were really an outlier. And we were highly dependent on using out-of-home confinement for young people in response to their involvement with the legal system.
And when did we start looking at that and making legislative and policy changes?
Well, the governor, the chief justice, and our legislative leaders began looking at that really in about 2013, 2014. There was a work group that studied the data here in South Dakota. And in the 2015 legislative session, the Juvenile Justice Public Safety Improvement Act was enacted. With that being said, much of the reforms didn't actually begin in the state until January 1st of 2016. So the report that was recently released is our first annual report that includes a full year of data. I think that's important for the public to be aware of. The initial report, FY16, included only 6 months of data.
All right, so give us some of the highlights from the 2017 annual report, this first year of data, to see how the reforms are going in the state.
Sure. Well, the biggest win is that we're moving away from leading the country in locking up youth. And we're doing that by an expansion of evidence-based, community-based interventions. You know, what we know is that there's been a 56% reduction in commitments to the Department of Corrections since fiscal year 14. And the reason why that's important is because we are using other earlier interventions to include increased use of diversion, as well as community-based interventions for kids that don't have to become justice-involved simply to get their needs met. And when I say that, there are services that are available statewide that are geared for serving young people who are having challenges in the home, in their schools, and in their communities.
What kind of services, and do you believe that there are enough of them, or are more on the way? Where do we stand there?
Sure. Functional family therapy is one of the key components that was implemented under this reform, and that started back in January of 2016 and is available statewide. I would say that has had the most significant impact. There are other services that are cognitive behavioral groups that have been added in 2017. But I think if you take a look at the data and specifically what's outlined in the annual report, you'll see that functional family therapy that involves the entire family unit is certainly having a positive effect on families. The majority of families that are participating in that service are reporting positive change. And that's important because we understand that kids, unlike adults and in the adult criminal justice system, young people exist in the context of families. So our interventions need to engage the entire family so they can be actively involved in making changes in their home and providing better supervision and support to their children.
Now, is that what's the difference between a diversion and a community-based intervention? Are they the same thing, or are they different?
They're different. Diversion programs are, you know, part of this package was there was a diversion fiscal incentive that was provided. There's $250,000 that's allocated annually that is provided to counties who participate in diversion programs. And the reason why diversion programs are important is because oftentimes kids really just need a light touch. They don't need formal court involvement or even an intensive intervention like functional family therapy to change their behavior. Diversion is something that occurs at the county level, and certainly in most cases we know that kids mature out of their delinquent or risk-taking behavior, and increasing effective diversion programs statewide really helps us to prevent those kids from further involvement in the justice system.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the criticisms about juvenile justice reform and see if you can address these. We spoke with Doug Barthel, who is representative now from the Brandon area, headed to Pierre this session. And we spoke to Tim Goodwin, who represents the District 30, which includes the Star Academy near Custer. I'll just outline real quick to you what each of them has said. Tim Goodwin was critical, said the Star Academy should not have closed. Legislature should have kept it open and failed to do their job because now he's hearing school superintendents and such saying there's not enough resources, what to do with kids when they're in trouble. They're in trouble and they're staying on the streets. Star Academy did great work. He wants to introduce legislation to reopen it, Governor Dugard said. There's no place for that in our policy. It's going up on the auction block in January. Representative Barthel said he was part of this planning process of the work group that initially put this package together. He said there's more work to be done, but we're not going back to, a facility such as the Star Academy. When you put all that together, I'm sure you've heard all those arguments nuanced out in many different ways. What do you make of this debate throughout the state about whether there are enough resources locally and whether or not we should have a facility like Star?
Sure. Yeah, I certainly have heard those criticisms. And, first just take the issue with Star Academy. I think when you take a look at it, it's really important to look at the outcomes. I understand, we created a system that was, our culture here in South Dakota was very dependent on using out-of-home confinement beds, if you will, for responding to, issues that young people were creating in the community. So, when you lead the country in that strategy, people become comfortable with that. So, I think, first of all, change is hard. But what's important to look at is the research and the data on outcomes. And what I'll tell you is that when you look at our data here in South Dakota, half of the kids that we were releasing from our facility in Custer were returning to placement. So we were not having the desired impact in terms of, long-term behavioral change. We were certainly removing kids from the community, which, I can see how some folks would appreciate that, kids who are disruptive in school settings. But if we're really interested in the purpose and the best use of juvenile justice, we weren't having the desired outcomes. So I'm not suggesting that we don't need facilities or out-of-home confinement. We do, and we continue to contract with private facilities to meet the needs of kids who actually pose a public safety threat. But you have to look at the outcomes, and community-based interventions by far have far better outcomes for young people. So if we're interested, again, in long-term behavioral change, that's the way to go. Not a large state-run facility in a remote location where you have great difficulty hiring qualified staff. You have great difficulty with maintaining family connections, and there's really almost zero ability to do intensive family-based interventions because, you know, most of the kids that we had in Star Academy were coming from the eastern part of the state, and we were really putting a burden on families just to maintain connection, let alone begin to work on all of their challenges and make changes within the family unit.
The kids today who still need that kind of intervention, that, you know, intense intervention for public safety purposes, where are they going?
We have contracts both in-state and out-of-state with private providers to meet the needs of youth. So we're very capable of meeting the needs of kids who do actually pose a risk to public safety and need that out-of-home intervention. Before we, return them with community-based services upon their release and supervision in the community.
And how far away are they going? Are they closer to their community then? Is that the goal still, or is that less important when you have that severe of a case?
Correct. We certainly do try to keep kids closest to home. Our first response is always going to be to look at an in-state provider. And we are working on efforts to increase some of our bed options here within South Dakota. When we go out of state, we look to our surrounding states, first of all. We have contracts with folks in Iowa and Minnesota. And ironically, in many of those cases, those kids are much closer to home. We have a contracted provider that is about 30 minutes. From Sioux Falls, we have other contracted providers that are between 1 hour and 3 hours away from home. But yes, we do have a small number of kids who are further out than that. And we actually always have, even prior to the reform.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Christy Bunkers. We're talking about the South Dakota Juvenile Justice Public Safety Improvement Act, a 2017 annual report. And, it's an extensive report, Christy. I haven't gotten all the way through it. But it does say that during the 2017 legislative session, there were some changes made to the Public Safety Improvement Act, the Juvenile Justice Public Safety Improvement Act. What were those changes, and do you foresee more changes or more tweaks to the act in 2018 session?
Yeah, there were some changes. You know, it's important to note that part of this, there was an oversight council that was created to monitor the impact of these reforms. And that council is made up of certainly some state employees, but it's also made up of a variety of other folks, to include legislative leaders, judges. And so they take a look at all of these performance measures and the data. Make decisions and recommendations around that. But in this last session, there were some changes. That was really the first year of the reform, and something of this magnitude, I think it was not a surprise that we needed to do a few tweaks. Some of those changes included on the probation side of extending the initial probationary term. What we found was that the time frame of 4 months was not sufficient in order to get kids through these services. So that was a modification that was recommended and enacted by the legislature. There was also some other changes in terms of kind of a tolling provision related to probation to ensure that, you know, you don't have a young person who may abscond from supervision and kind of just, you know, ride out their term of supervision without ever being supervised. So that was modified. And then there were some other changes to the juvenile citation process really at the request of schools, which that concern was heard and acted on. And then there were some clarification around the mandatory diversion policy. Mm-hmm. those were essentially the primary changes. And, you know, as it relates to this next session, you know, at this point, the Oversight Council has not provided any specific recommendations for change. You know, will there be, you know, will this be talked about? Will there be discussions? Yes, I'm sure there will, about juvenile justice.
Do you think that the sale of Star Academy will close the door on some of those sort of, you know, older, you know, as we see more of the results of what's happening and as that facility is gone, do we move past a certain stage in South Dakota history and move on to a next stage at some point? Do you think that's part of what we're seeing, is a transition of change being hard?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I think regardless of, you know, your take on juvenile justice, and I know folks have a lot of opinions on juvenile justice. I mean, it's one of those interesting things. You know, but we do have to look at the, there is a just such a broad and robust range of research. So, it, you know, juvenile justice policy shouldn't be driven based on personal opinion or, you know, anecdotal stories that might be out there. But, you know, the other piece is everything needs to move forward. And if you take a look at what other states have done across the country, I can assure you nobody is building large state institutions to house kids. that's not happening anywhere. There's large state facilities that are closing down and have closed down, you know, over the years all across this country because it's not a best practice.
Right.
We know that smaller facilities that are closer to home are definitely much more aligned with the research and produce better outcomes for young people and their families.
So is it too much of a simplification to ask you where we're at in the standings right now? If we used to be number one or two, does that reduce it, you know, to a number that's not as complex as it should be? Or do you look at that and say, yep, this looks like progress. Where are we?
Well, you have to keep in mind the census is done biennially. So the last census that was completed was 2015. And at that point, we ranked number five. So we're looking forward to the next census. You know,
right.
I suspect we may still be in the top 10. And you know, but I think, you know, where we're at is we're certainly moving in the right direction. And I don't know that there's a perfect number to be at. Probably shouldn't be our goal to, you know, just drive it around the census. But we do have to recognize that leading certainly doesn't make sense for a state like South Dakota.
And for listeners, you can see the entire report, and there are, you know, there are takeaways broken down for, you know, multiple areas. So that's why I said I hate to reduce it to one number, but because there's so much data in this report overall. You can find it on the governor's website. We'll put a link up to our website after the program at listen.sdpb.org. Christy Bunkers, when you read this and you look at it, leave us with, you know, as you flip through the data and the numbers, what encourages you the most?
Well, you know, what encourages me the most, I mean, I think there's two things. And one thing you may not pick up just from the numbers, but what I do want to say is that this is an exciting time in state government. I've been doing this work for many years, and never before have we brought the key state agencies that are involved in serving young people together to work so collaboratively. So I think first and foremost, that is very important. You know, we are working at the highest level of collaboration that we have been in my time in state government. And so that's certainly a positive for kids and families to use our resources that way. We're collecting data at a level that we've never done before and putting our data together and monitoring that for the, you know, measuring the impact of what we're doing, which is really important as well. But, you know, as it relates to kind of key things that are really important in the report, I think we have to acknowledge that, you know, we've seen a decrease in recidivism for both our juvenile probation populations and youth within the custody of the Department of Corrections. That is a win. We're having more success. We've seen the number of young people who successfully complete probation increasing. That is a win. We're seeing that kids don't have to become justice involved just to meet a need. And that is through the expansion of community-based services under the Department of Social Services. Their contracted providers have additional tools and services to help families who are struggling and have a need, but don't necessarily need to relinquish custody to the Department of Corrections in order to get that need met. Those, I think, are the most compelling changes from my perspective.
Christy Bunkers is Director of Juvenile Services for South Dakota. We hope that you'll come back and talk more about this in the future. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.